Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us today. A reminder, call of the game coming up in 25 minutes at 9:30. An opportunity for you to win $50 to Schroeder's. If you know the call of the game from last night's, we'll call it a loss to the Atlanta Hawks.
It was a loss.
And that's where it ends. It was a loss. And the team moves on.
They lost. Big deal.
Guess what? Can't win them all.
Teams lose. Okay, get over it.
Never seen anyone go 82-0 in the regular season.
Hasn't happened. A team went 73-9 once, but we don't talk about that either. Don't talk about that.
I mean, 79 points against Atlanta. Like, that should have been in the first quarter.
Don't talk about that.
All right, we're going to let it slide. We're moving on. A couple twists today. Number one, Lowe's out, a bit under the weather. Big man's going to be feeling better. He had that over last night, so you know he's feeling a little bit better already. Jim Cosmore in his stead, always a pleasure. And Ian Williams, former Niner, in studio with us now, made it on time, pay the under. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad I'm finally here on time.
Exactly. Way to go, my man.
Figured it out. Welcome.
Let's go.
Life's great mysteries, the meaning of life, and how to get anywhere on time in the Bay Area.
Impossible. If you don't leave.
Oh, it's a one-word impossible.
No, it's just impossible.
You know, well said.
I mean, other than the fact that we get here at 4:30, I can't imagine being out there with the people. Yeah, 4:30 is nice. Easy driving at 4:30.
I'm sure it's an easy drive. I'm sure it's hard waking up.
Yeah, it's not very pleasant, but.
I live about 3 miles from here. I ride a bike. It is pleasant ride in, but there's a lot of, shall we say, obstacles you have to avoid on the sidewalks.
I actually commend you for riding your bike.
Yeah,
I'm not doing like the little line bike and the little scooter things.
You wear a helmet? Dib's going to get really upset if you don't. Kalena got reamed for not wearing the helmet.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to get a talking to, probably off the air if you're not wearing a helmet. It's just too easy to have your life changed forever just by one little slip of the line bike.
True, very true, very true. I guess I need to...
I worry about you, Ian.
...get a real invisible helmet instead.
The old invisible helmet. All right, you're on your own.
All right, I had said today, pass ball, tomorrow moving on, but when someone like you comes in, I'd love to get your thoughts on everything, so I want to go through some of that Ravens game. Close matchup. For what the Ravens had been doing to everyone, previous four games, they had taken New England, Cincinnati, Houston, and someone else. I can't remember who the fourth
40
was. 40-plus. They were smoking fools. This was a tight game. How much did that weather help the Niners, or did it help the Ravens more? We're trying to get to the bottom of that. Some people feel that the Niners were at an advantage because it slows down Lamar Jackson. Some feel the Ravens were at an advantage because it helps the offense rather than the defense.
I feel like it probably helped both teams, respectively, because you dealt with, as the Niners, when they played against the Washington Redskins, they played against that same kind of, you know, sluggy, kind of, you know, muddy field and stuff like that. But the Ravens, they have a turf field, so it's not as slick, you know, it's not the grass and you have the mud and stuff like that. So they were able to keep their footing a little bit better, but I feel like still with the rain, you know, you weren't able to throw the ball down the field. So obviously that shrunk the field, so it turned into a more of a running style game, which suited, you know, either, you know, us, the 49ers, or the Baltimore Ravens. Actually, probably, you know, the Baltimore Ravens a little bit more because of Lamar Jackson. It's like having, you know, Adrian Peterson out there at quarterback, you know, if you really look at how he runs and stuff like that, and having a guy like that with the ball in his hands when it's wet and guys aren't really used to playing against this style of offense, oh yeah, it definitely, you know, brings that gap down.
You played D-line, so you would know as well as anybody, like, what it's going to be like in the room watching Lamar Jackson tape and trying to figure out how to game plan for him. How difficult is it? He makes it look so easy every week. He just glides to 100 yards. He's just like Michael Vick. So dangerous. How much of a challenge is that for defensive linemen?
For us, for a defensive lineman, especially like interior guys, we're primarily dive players. You know, whenever the fullback or the dive player, you know, gets inside A gap, B gap. That's kind of our job. Now, the defensive ends, when you see Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead having to crash down and play that defensive end, that's where it gets a little difficult, because now when you're coming down, you can't just know, oh, I want to rush the passer, or I want to get, you know, my hands on this tackle. Now you have to come down, stop your feet. You have to think, you know, do I have to dive, or do I have the quarterback right here? So you saw that a lot on Sunday. So, you know, and then they switch it up, and then a few times, you know, I think it was one of the big plays that Lamar Jackson had, you know, Nick Bosa kind of went up the field instead of crashing down. So, you know, those kind of things you're not really used to. So playing against a guy like that in an offense like that is very difficult.
Plus the offensive line, you're talking about some massive dudes in there, and they were bringing in their sixth offensive line at times, and you're dealing with a fullback who's darn near 300 pounds as well. How much does that play into it, not only for Nick Bosa, but for guys like yourself in the interior to face that much humanity on these plays?
Well, the first play of the game, they went tackle over. I actually looked at the film last night, so they went tackle over on the first play. That just kind of shows you the mindset of what they had going into the game, of what
Explain
they wanted
to do. Explain
that
to the listeners. What does tackle over
so
mean?
So tackle over. So Ronnie Stanley is their left tackle, so they would move the left tackle over to the outside of the right tackle on the right side, or vice versa, and they would move that tight end down. So you have a tight end, a guard, center, a guard, tackle, tackle. And it just messes up the alignment, and then the gaps, especially of the DBs or the linebackers who have to fill in. So it makes you have to think of just a little bit more. All you have to do is slide down. It's as simple as that. But
it's got me thinking right now.
But yeah, it just makes you think. You know,
that's instinctive for the lineman, or someone makes that call, you guys got to slide down.
Oh, that's in the package. So when they come out and, you know, they call the offense, you know, they tell the lineman, you know, tackle
but
over.
But defensively for you guys, it's instinctive to make this to
we'll see it. Yeah, we'll see it. And the linebackers will see it. And it'll check. Over, slide over. So whatever the call is, you know, if you're supposed to be lined up on the outside shade of the center, now you have to move to the outside shade of the guards. You just move one person down. So that was like the first play of the game. I'm sorry, I keep moving all over the place.
It's fantastic. We got 1,000 questions
for you. Then you have the fullback back there, you know, Ricard. The whole thing with him, you know, he's kind of a, like you said, he's a, pretty much an extra offensive lineman back there. He's what, probably 280, 290.
He doesn't look like Juszczyk.
He was much different than Juszczyk. But, you know, he's the guy who's going to, you know, kind of wedge that gap open. He's not going to, you know, break any big runs or anything like that. He's pretty much in there to seal, you know, gaps and knock guys out of the place. And that's pretty much what he was there for. But, and then they're built for, like, running style, you know, attacks. They're built for that, because it has to be, you know, you have to have bigger offensive linemen to play in, you know, rain type weathers and stuff like that. That you have to, you know, you can't throw the ball deep down the field. You have to be able to run the ball.
Well, think about their approach right now and how they come out. They're gonna run the ball down your throat. They're gonna be physical. They're gonna run the ball, and they're gonna have a lot of deception and misdirection with where the option and the RPOs and all that's going. But they are playing four-down football. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it as three downs, and if it doesn't work, you're punting. So, you know, just mathematically, if you're going to go three downs and punt, 3.3 yards per play, you're going to need that to get there. With them, they've shrunk that to 2.5. They're basically going to play fourth down most of the way. If you're in a situation near midfield, they've got the analytics guy in there now, the kid from Harvard, who's advising them on all this. So they're not going to be making awful decisions with punting. When they're in a good spot, they're going to go. Good luck stopping that, too. Now they've figured out they have an extra down with a power running game to get just a couple extra yards. They're not going to need 3.3 at a clip anymore. Very dangerous to defend.
Yeah.
Do you think that? Go ahead.
No, it just changes what you do on third and five, too, and third and four. And we saw that from the 49ers late in the game, where they chose to run the ball with Mostert on third and medium, knowing that they were going to then go for it on fourth and one or fourth down or whatever. Are you seeing this from other teams too?
Yeah, so it forces your hand. You know, offensively, you know, you have to keep up with them. You know they have an extra down, so it changes your game plan. So on first and second down, you can't be conservative. Oh, let me just run the ball here and be conservative. So, you know, if I get the third down and long, I can throw the ball. Like, no, you might have to use all four downs. So therefore, on third down, you're going to have to, you know, run the ball, you know, at least get it to fourth and one, fourth and two, and manageable. But the Baltimore Ravens with that offense, just any type of option defense. I remember playing against Navy and Air Force in college, where they didn't care. They were going for, if it was fourth and four, fourth and three, they were going for, especially if they were in favored position on our side of the field.
Right.
You know, they didn't care. Like you said, analytically, they were like, you know what? We feel like we can get these 2 or 3 yards, because this safety, if he's playing, you know, anything, you know, fourth down, third down, he's playing, you know, 15, 20 yards off the ball. So about time I run the dive, and then I have have the pitch coming around, I've gotten my 3 yards or 2, 3, 4 yards, and now it's a first down. So it's as simple as that, you know, and you just do that nickel and dime you all the way down the field, and then you control the clock. You keep your defense off the field, and it kind of works everything. And that's what they have going over there in Baltimore, and they're really dangerous.
Ian Williams in studio with Joe Cozen Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. I think the biggest kryptonite to the Ravens this year, people are talking about how eventually the NFL will catch up. They'll make their adjustments. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. I think for this year, though, I think Lamar Jackson takes too many hits. I think that's the thing. He ain't Russell Wilson with the sliding, getting out of bounds, playing smart. He takes a lot of shots. At some point, that's what's going to end up hurting him. I don't see him as a 10-year quarterback. I think he's going to take a lot of shots, and that's okay because I love watching the guy. This isn't a knock on him, but he's not exactly avoiding contact. He plays like a running back.
Very true, but I feel like he protects himself at certain times. There was a play early in the game, Akello came in and hit his knee, and he kind of flipped over. I think it was early in the game. That was really the only big hit that he took. And then other plays, you know, he was getting outside, and there was a play, I want to say in the third or fourth quarter, where the defense, the 49ers, played it very well, and they strung him all the way out to the outside, and he only really gained 2 or 3 yards, but that's exactly how you play him. He doesn't want to cut it up. As a few times, obviously, when he got Kwan, you know, he'll fake some wood. Yeah, he wants to cut it outside. Even though he can run interior inside the tackles, he wants to fake you inside and cut you out. That's what any DB, that's what they coach you. He's going to juke you inside to go outside. He's not going to go inside and get his ear blown up or his shoulder blown out because, you know, he has all the guys from the defense on the inside coming. So
did the Niners' adjustments at halftime show other teams how you can contain him? Because it looked like they went to a lot more base in the second half where you saw the three linebackers. I know Azeez played a ton. You didn't see a lot of Kwan after halftime. Can you beat them? Can you be more successful against Lamar Jackson with the three linebackers than maybe your typical nickel package?
I feel like to be more successful against them, you're going to have to bring up that safety, especially the extra player in the box. Now you don't have a free safety, so now Jimmy Ward can't sit back there in a deep third. You have to come up within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and be able to play inside out and not get trapped in the flow of traffic. What was the second part of your question?
Just the idea of them playing more base to where, you know,
And then they were slanting a lot more in the third and fourth quarters. They were doing more slanting and not just playing base and just head up. They were, you know, slanting DJ Jones
right.
And Sheldon Day and these guys. They were slanting a lot more to the fullback, number 42, to kind of, you know, play into the hands of knowing that they wanted to run, you know, power option or some counter option that way.
Are they the best team in the AFC? Do you have them winning the AFC?
They are the best team in the AFC. They have some deficiencies on defense that may come back and bite them, but I feel like offensively they can overcome them, especially in the AFC.
That teams might be able to exploit against Baltimore?
A couple of their formations, they were just unsound. Like they would line up a defensive end outside the tackle, and there would be, you know, the 49ers would have, you know, a tight end, like two tight ends and plus a wing out there, and just the gap integrity right there, you're out leveraged. As soon as they run a counter or they down block and they pull that guard, you're out leveraged. So now you have multiple holes in there that Raheem Mostert, if you go back and look at Raheem's, most of his big runs, you look at Baltimore like, how are you lined up like that? You're just unsound. You're already from the snap of the ball. You're out leveraged. So now they're working from the inside out, and the offense is working from the outside in. And now you have no gap integrity. And now you're out leveraged.
Gap integrity, Coach.
It's incredible.
Got to have gap integrity. Breakdown.
It's like if I thought about taking notes while I'm listening to Ian, and then I was like, I'm just going to be just pouring notes. It's going to get so messy. I'm not even going to go back and read it. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Much like you watch tape, you got to go back and listen to tape.
Yeah, I'll just phase the three of us out. Give me the edited version of this hour without Coz, myself, or Dibs involved. Just Ian talking straight through, please.
Just the straight Ian feed is what we need.
Just put it like this. You want to put it in gamer terms. So if you're playing Madden and you have everybody to the right side on offense, so if I'm on defense, I slide everybody away from where everybody is on offense.
What's that, like R2?
Yes. You just slide your whole defense line away from where they have everybody. That's how they looked on defense on Sunday.
Garoppolo, what are your thoughts on him so far this season? He's coming off the knee injury, but he's highly paid. The expectations are high. Great team around him. The numbers, it's like people, it's a very controversial topic to a lot of people. Like, some people do not think he's lived up to the expectations. Others think he's playing great football. Where are you on it?
I feel like he's gotten better and better each game. Obviously, he's coming off of ACL. He's coming off of injury. So the people who are saying, oh, he's this, he's that, I want you to tear your ACL and then come out there and have to play quarterback in the NFL and the NFC against these type of guys. So, you know, he's gotten better. And then when the time has called, he's made the throws pretty much. You know, there's been a couple of throws here and there, like, hey, oh, that was a bad one. Or, hey, if this was picked off, you know, this could have been bad, but they weren't, you know.
Can teammates live with that? Because some guys will look at it and you see he seems to have one big one every game, every other game. You're like, man, you can't make that throw. But does he do enough offensively where the rest of the team looks at that and goes, all right, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. We move on. Because some guys you'll see, like when Blake Bortles was having an awful day for Jacksonville, that's
Blake
would
Bortles
be
in Jacksonville. That's
exactly. Like with him, everyone just looks at it like, does it bother the team, you think, at all?
Guys mess up all the time, especially on offense. You know, you see George Kittle have a bad play or Staley, one of these guys, have a bad play, and they're like, okay, all right, on to the next. You know, same thing on defense. You have a bad play, on to the next. You know, you can't really worry. Like, he's being aggressive. You want your quarterback to be aggressive. You don't want him to be in the third and fourth quarter, you know, second-guessing or, you know, being hesitant on the throw because, you know, oh, I've thrown some, you know, bad picks or possible picks. I don't want you thinking about possible picks. You didn't have it picked off, so therefore we were able to still continue with the drive. Like, be aggressive, Jimmy. You know, you're gonna have these moments, especially in the playoffs. This is a playoff team. They're gonna make it to the playoffs, and he's gonna have to make some throws you know, in the first or second game of the playoffs to really, you know, get this team where they need to be.
We were very divided on this topic earlier.
Very divided.
We went to the phone line, and a lot of people were in disagreement. I'm not even going to try to present it to you who said what. I'm just going to ask you. Seattle's 10-2. We saw them last night beat the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. How good are they? Obviously, they're good. But are they elite tier? Are they maybe the next tier down? What do you see in the Seattle Seahawks?
They're good. They're good. You have to give them their respect. You know, they're atop of the NFC right now, so you have to respect their team. Just like the Niners, you have to respect them and what they were doing. Russell Wilson is an MVP caliber player, so you know what he can do. You saw, you know, what he can do to us, you know, in crunch time when all the chips are on the line.
And that then dude's awesome.
And now
you
they
see
have
that
yeah.
first drive last night yeah. where they gave up a touchdown. He goes to sidelines. He goes, "Don't worry, we're going to get it back." Mm-hmm. And he marched them right down the yeah. field and scored.
Oh yeah. And then now they have a defense now, and they have, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't have that pass rush like they did last year, and they didn't have that offensive line. Now we have everybody remembers Mike Iupati. He used to be in red and gold. Now he's over there. They have Dwayne Brown. They traded for him from Houston. He's a pretty good left tackle. And now they have DJ Fluker, a bigger guy. The center is still a question mark. You know. DJ Jones should be able to exploit him, but I feel like, you know, they've gotten better on the fronts defensively and offensively.
Where do they rank in the NFC, in your opinion? Saints, because I want to do the Saints preview with you in a little bit, but you got the Saints, Packers, Vikings. If you want to throw the NFC East in there, sure. Niners, Seahawks, like, where are they in the NFC hierarchy? Forget about records and playoff structure. We'll get to all that. Just if you were to rank the teams based on what you've seen through 13 weeks.
I would have to say San Francisco, one.
Even now.
Even now.
Wow.
Even now.
Okay.
They're going to get healthier. They'll get Joe Staley back in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. They're going to get healthier. They'll get better. Breed will be back too.
Four.
So two, I would have to say Seattle right now. And then New Orleans would have to be three.
Okay.
And then depending on what happens on Sunday, that's obviously going to change my standings. But those are the three best teams in the NFC.
Strong. And then you get to the Green Bay and Minnesota and then the NFC East teams. After that, accordingly.
Yeah, Washington's coming on strong.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Green Bay.
What are you talking about? They just beat Carolina.
Come on.
Green Bay is a very good team, but I feel like the Niners really exposed them up front of what they really are. You know, I thought David Bakhtiari was a better left tackle than that. You know, I played with his brother out here, and then they lost Brian Bulaga during the game. So, you know, where are they at interior? You know, that's kind of the drawback of having a quarterback make so much money. Now you can't, you know, really afford to pay guys to really block and protect them.
Rodgers has covered up everything there. Anytime he's ever gone down, you've just seen that team go right into the crapper. Yeah. They are an elite quarterback. And then some interesting pieces. Aaron Jones has had a nice season. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams has played solid at wide receiver. But for the most part, the year they were their best, when they won the Super Bowl, they had a great defense. Mm-hmm. Dom Capers had a really good defense there that beat the Steelers, and they never got back to that. They just went years without building up the defense, and this year's no different. That defense is highly susceptible.
Yeah, they have the two edge guys. They have the Smith brothers, the Darius and Preston, and they have some cornerbacks. They have some guys, but do they have the right amount of guys all over the board to be able to win in crunch time, or not go on the road and lose to the Chargers and go on the road and get blown out by the 49ers? Like who are you?
Yeah,
are
credit
you, are
to you, Shanahan yeah. for making the big substitution in that game, because Darius Smith was wrecking shop, and then he went to Brunskill instead of school, and he tried to shore things up. And with Joe Staley coming back, I know we'll get into full Saints preview here momentarily, but if you lose Richard Sherman but you get Joe Staley back, what does that do for your fortunes this week?
Well, you have Mosley. You know, I feel like Mosley's ready. You know, he stepped in Monday night. That showed a lot. To me to step out there Monday night to have Odell Beckham, these guys across from you, like Odell Beckham, first Monday night football game of your career. You know, young guy, and step out there and play as poised as he did. That showed me a lot. So if Richard is hurt, I feel like he's okay. I'm okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Canon USA Inc. Ian Williams in studio with Joe Cozen-Dibs. We got the New Orleans Saints preview for you next. We've also got Call of the Game. Light them up. 888-957-9570. If you want a chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's here in the city. 888-957-9570. Back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lo and Dibs with Jim Cozumore.
Some junk? You get junk shots?
On 95.7 The Game.
So many people in the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 are reaching out with questions for Ian because he's been laying out so many great breakdowns, such technical X's and O's stuff, that we figure, you know what? You want to ask Ian Williams questions? Ask him questions. 888-957-9570. Keep him sharp, too. Don't come in here with the Sasquatch stuff and the, you know, the grilled cheese stuff.
Yeah.
It is for other segments. This segment, if you got football questions, Ian can help you out. He's one of the brightest minds in the Bay Area when it comes to that. But first, it's time for the Call of the Game, brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. Hopefully you caught Warriors wrap-up last night with John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky and heard the Call of the Game. We're going to go to the phones. It is Bobby in Los Altos. Bobby, welcome to the show, and thank you for your time. Here's your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's Restaurant, located at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. What was last night's Call of the Game?
Gentlemen, good morning. After such a horrific game, there probably was only one highlight in the game. It was Bowman to Chris with the one-handed oop.
Let's take a listen.
Kai Bowman, lob, design play to Marquise Chris. Climb the ladder and throw it down, young man. Wow.
That was the most impressive inside play we've seen tonight.
Well-designed play by the Warriors coming out of the timeout.
Yeah. Hey-o, another winner. $50 to Bobby in Los Altos. This thing has no chance to roll over. There's no rollover progressive.
It's really like an open book test. If you pay attention, you listen to the post-game show, a terrific post-game show, all you have to do is listen, tune in, and win. It's like an open book test, Joe.
I had one of those in law school and still got a C. That's how tough property is, if anyone's ever dealt with property. Why are you laughing back there, Langford? What do you know about property?
He was laughing at my two-chuckle laugh. He was laughing at my laugh.
You ain't never
going to
own it. What do you know about rule against perpetuities? That's how I was proud of that C, too. It's disgusting.
Man.
Janine from Martinez has been on hold forever. Very patient. Janine's got a question about Lamar Jackson. You want to take some questions?
Let's do it.
Ian Williams is here. Janine, welcome to the show. Your question about Lamar Jackson, fire away.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if this is the trend for quarterbacks. I call him Lamar One Man Jackson, and how long is it going to be until the teammates get frustrated with not being able to do their jobs? It just seems like, I mean, I know he's doing a really good job and it's exciting, but it just seems like it's not a team effort. It's just like one guy doing everything. And then I have a follow-up about Tom Brady.
All right, go ahead. Ask the follow-up and then we'll address both on air for you.
Okay. Tom Brady has his lengthy career and he's still in good shape because apparently he has cloned himself. Now, that is from a show called Living With Myself on Netflix, the first episode.
I saw that, Janine. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm tracking with you on this question.
Good.
Is that the question? It says he
That was just a mention about Tom, but just
by the way, six times.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Hang up. She lied. She said she wanted to ask a question, and she got a crazy take in there, which
yes,
I got to say, I do appreciate the crazy take, and I want to address that. Cozumar, I'll come to you with that in a second. Lamar Jackson, the idea that perhaps, is this a trend? It sounded like a two-parter. Is this a trend with quarterbacks and offenses in the NFL? And two, is it going to rub potential teammates the wrong way that he's getting so much love?
Is it the trend now to be more athletic, to be a quarterback now? Yes, because, you know, you're having more athletic pass rushers. You're having, you know, more passes in the game now. Guys are getting better at stopping the run and stuff like that. So you're getting more pass opportunities. So now you're seeing guys like, you know, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and, you know, guys like that are starting to take over, because now you can't just be a sitting duck in the pocket. Guys are getting too big and too strong. So now you need to be able to move and avoid pressure. And now you need to be able to, you know, open up the offense and be able to, you know, run and have a, you know, be able to get out there and run stretch. You know, Peyton Manning towards the end of his career, he couldn't get out there and run that stretch like he used to. And it slowed down the game of what he wanted to do, especially the run game. So that's what you're seeing. And you're going to start seeing more and more athletic quarterbacks. I mean, that's what you're seeing in college now. You know, you're going to have what's the kid from Clemson?
Trevor Lawrence.
You know, he's really athletic. He's a pocket passer, but he's really athletic. You're going to start seeing more quarterbacks like that. Herbert from Oregon and Tua and Hurd. That's what you're going to start seeing now. So that's probably the answer to that first question. Then the second was
let me jump in on that real quick too. Quietly, one thing that people don't talk about, the advantage with having a quarterback who runs a little bit more, the way the rules are structured, you have created a very deep dilemma for the defense, because if he goes feet first, you obviously can't hit him. But now quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson does this a little bit. They fake going down and defenders bail out of the way because defenders don't even want to breathe on the guy wrong because they don't want to get hit for 15. But then he takes off running. They do these little moves now where you can't hit him in the legs, you can't hit him up top.
Right.
He becomes a runner. This is something Richard Sherman had a question about over the weekend. Harbaugh got upset with the way they hit him, but it's like he's becoming a runner, so we're not going to treat him differently. But now you have these guys where you can teach them, hey, you know, kind of pump fake a little bit. Defenders will ease up and then keep running
and
down the field.
And that's all players, because once he becomes a runner, he's protected by the rules that protect all runners the same. He's no longer a quarterback running, so any runner, wide receiver, running back, tight end, you can give yourself up with the slide in the same fashion. And I believe, Joe, on the heels of what you're saying, you're going to see a rule change to where that fake slide that you're seeing more and more, and Aaron Rodgers is a wizard at it, going down like he's going to slide and then staying up for those two more yards.
Yeah, he's got the Giants.
And then
the
going
Giants
full
like
slide.
A couple times.
You're going to see a rule come in probably this offseason from the competition committee preventing that, making it an unsportsmanlike conduct.
How hard is it for you guys to pull up, though? I mean, that's got... Do they just keep running that in your brain all the time? Hey, listen, you can't hit the quarterback. Can't hit the quarterback.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's, especially like the whole game when you're trying to get there and then you finally get there, or you're trying to make a simple tackle. I mean, you probably saw a little bit of it when Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, you know, got into it. You know, guys are, you know, you gotta take them to the ground, because if I just hold you up and you end up getting away, and now, you know, you break away for a play and make a 70-yard throw down the field like that, now I'm in trouble and I get yelled at and stuff
Eli
like
Manning
that.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
David Tyree was
you
that
know what I'm saying? So, yeah, exactly. That's how you win. You lose and win the games like that. So knowing that as a defensive player, when you're running up, it's hard to, you know, do I not go after him? Do I go after him? Like, which one? Do I get a 15-yard penalty? Like, it's hard, and it's fast. It's not like where you have the clicker or you can watch it on ESPN or whatever. You can slow it down. Well, I would have... No, this is like, bam, split-second type stuff.
And
it
you
is
saw
fast.
It on Sunday. Yeah, you saw it, and we try to adjudicate or we enforce the rules based on slow motion in a game that you know happens in real time. And I applauded the officials for picking up the late hit flag. I think it was Jimmy Ward who came over and, quote, hit Lamar Jackson late. But you could see
he was still in play.
He was pulling off. Well, he was still in play when the hit initiated. And then you see him try to pull his two hands off, even though he did finish the hit.
Yeah.
That was one of those cases where it was rare that they picked up the flag, because too often we see that go down as a late hit out of bounds.
But I like that. I like that they picked up the flag and they, you know, consulted each other. And, you know, as the play looked from a certain angle, and that's a certain thing from officials. Officials, they see an angle and it looks a certain way, or it looks more atrocious than what it actually, you know, really looked at. And if you see it slow down, so I'm glad they were able to pick it up and, you know, talk to each other.
Just
about
another
it.
Example of the officials being
all right.
Superior.
Yeah. All right, that's don't, you don't have to indulge that.
Wow,
you don't have to indulge that. This
you
is,
went
this
down
is
that
pandering.
Road.
It's hard, man, to be an official.
Serious.
It's hard.
Yeah, you could let them go here. It's actually incredibly difficult, and I appreciate.
Hard. You know, it's hard to fly a rocket to Mars. That's hard. Officiating, not hard.
I appreciate a former player having such a great perspective as yourself,
it's
Ian.
Hard.
Thank you. Because I as the representative official here in the room, constantly under siege from from these, you know, the various yahoos in the room. So I appreciate
y'all
that.
Y'all are bad at times. I give you that.
Yeah.
At times, y'all are really bad.
You did that to yourself. That was necessary.
Really bad.
You had to stand on ceremony a little too long. What's this Brady? What's this Brady clone thing?
So this is from a TV show that's a Paul Rudd vehicle. It's called Living with Myself. Where do you remember a little spat that looked like Tom Brady? There's a news story where Tom Brady looked like he was making fun of his owner's dalliance in the massage parlor. Did you hear about that story?
Yes.
That's from this TV show where Brady goes in, and he didn't go in to get himself serviced. He went in to clone himself. It's a cloning center where Paul Rudd has himself cloned. He becomes the better version of himself, only he survives the cloning. Usually they kill the original and make the new one. The joke in that show was Tom Brady has done that six times. So it's... You have to watch the show to kind of get the idea.
I won't be doing that.
So did you really watch the show? You could, you were fluent with it.
I watched it. Yeah, I watched the show. You know, I like Paul
Rudd.
His
synopsis wasn't even all that entertaining. I won't be watching.
Well, I got to be honest. That episode wasn't that entertaining either. That joke with Brady was the funniest part of it.
Wow.
My question is, does Tom Brady pay people in certain areas to call in and give him free PR?
I think so.
What do you mean?
That was like free PR for Tom Brady right now.
Right then.
Well, and then we're over talking about it.
But he was in the TV show. It's literally Tom Brady walking out of a massage parlor, and Paul Rudd's thinking he's going in, and he looks and sees Brady, and Brady says to him, first time? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, how about you? He goes, no, this is my sixth. But he doesn't know he's going in to get himself repurposed.
We've said Tom Brady more than San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, and that's an outrage.
Where would you rank Brady amongst NFL quarterbacks if you were going to go out and have a beer with an NFL quarterback? Starting quarterbacks, no backups.
Baker Mayfield.
You'd rank him number one?
You'd go number one.
I mean, you're rocking it with Baker. I can't imagine you'd have a terrible time.
Or Manziel.
Look at that. He's going to the Wayback Machine.
I think you put Jimmy G up in the top six.
Hey, Jimmy G.
I mean, Jimmy G. You establish early on you just want to catch some splash. It's like, picking up the tab. Yeah. Okay?
Couple of breadcrumbs.
Just do your thing and let me – I'm not going after – you make the pick, but then let me, you know –
The correct answer is Andy Dalton, because we all know that the redhead in all of us, the redheads have more fun than the rest of y'all. So the correct answer is Andy Dalton.
They probably just think he's some drunk Irishman. He'd be trying to convince everyone that he's a football player and no one would buy in.
What about Gardner Minshew? Ooh,
the shoe.
That could be a good one. That could be a good one.
That's risky. Depending on where you go, if they don't know Minshew, they think you're just hanging out with a pedophile.
No, my God, with his stash.
Easy now.
I'm not saying he was. I'm saying the mustache gives people pause.
Wow,
it's too much. All right, I retract. We got people on hold that want to ask Ian questions. We're going to come right to you guys next. Cooper, Derek, you're the first two up. The rest of you guys we're bringing on as well. 888-957-9570. Ask Ian Williams football questions, please. Not chaos. Nothing about cloning here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs, starring Jim Cosimore.
Suck on that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Football questions. He's got the answers. Derek in Oakland. Derek, welcome to the show. You're on with Ian Williams. Fire away.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Ian Williams, good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Good morning to you, too.
Good. Just want to get a question in real quick for you. Jimmy G, is he the real deal for the 49ers in our future? I just want to kind of hear from you. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Thanks.
You're very welcome. And in the future, there's other people in here you can address as sir, too. He's not the only sir. There are four sirs.
I like Mr. Jim Cosimore, if you are to mention me.
To just blow past us to go right to Ian like that. Ian's a classy guy, but there are also other classy people here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ian.
No, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. He's playing very good.
That's high praise.
Yes. You have to understand what he's able to do when the challenges have presented him to, you know, be able to deliver the ball to receivers or be able to check in and out of plays, you know, to get the offense into a good play, you know, a positive play. And I feel like, you know, obviously, you know, what Jacoby Brissett is doing up in Indianapolis, you know, and then Jimmy, you know, being a part of, you know, that lineage from New England, I feel like
he has. What a quarterback room, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Brady, Brissett, and with Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
What a quarterback room.
There you go. Right back to Brady again. I thought we were going Brady free zone.
For
this
him,
guy's got something for him.
For him to be able to sit under, you know, one of the best to ever play the game and study from him and Bill Belichick and then bring that over to San Francisco, you can just tell how he carries himself. And then, you know, the love that the teammates, you know, the guys in the locker room have for him, that tells me, you know, he's really, you know, he's really the man for San Francisco. He may not be the best quarterback, but he is one of the best in the NFL.
Ball security issues, not yet. You don't really feel that, the fact that he tends to put it on the ground about once a game. Is that something that sticks out for you as an area of improvement, or just one of those one-offs?
Is he, like, snapping the ball and throwing the ball to the ground?
No, but he's not holding on to it when pressured. You know, you see too often the ball just falls out of his hands.
It happens. He's a quarterback. He's trying to get the ball down the field. If you look, when he got stripped in Baltimore, his head was looking down the field. It's not like he saw the guy, oh, my God, somebody rushing at me, threw the ball away.
It's a great take.
It happens. You know,
every Monday, we grade Garoppolo. Him and Lowe come in with their C's and their B-minuses. Sure, he threw for 350 and four touchdowns, but there's an INT I didn't like. It's C-minus.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, it's football, you know, until you show me otherwise, you know, until he gets to the playoffs and then, you know, he looks really bad against the team, then I'll have to, you know, start to question, you know, is he the guy to get you over the hump? But as of right now, this team is 10-2 and possibly 12-0 with a missed field goal and another missed field goal. You know, you lost by 6 points. You should be 12-0 right now. Like, what else do you expect for him to do with the offense and the guys that he has in the room? Like, what do you expect him?
Tremendous insight.
He's damn near gone, you know, 12-0 with the guys in the room. Like, what? Like, literally, what else does he have to do?
I think that's the end of the ridiculous grading each and every week.
I gave him a B, Joe.
He comes in after these huge games. It's B, and then yesterday, what was it, 84?
I gave him an 84, it was a B.
Like, does he need to complete every pass? Does he need to throw the ball 100 yards down the field?
Very strict graders.
Doesn't need to complete every pass. I think when you look at the situation where every game he seems to give the ball away one time, that's what keeps me from giving him an A grade. That's all.
What about B plus?
So who's the best quarterback in the league to you?
This is a good question.
It's a super question. I would say right now, you'd have to go with Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson, maybe Drew Brees.
He didn't ask for three.
I don't know. Don't dance. I don't know the exact INT stats for them, but I know they have a couple. And I know they don't turn the ball over that often, but every now and then, it's going to happen. You know, you're going to have a defense. You're going to see something, and you thought that you had it right there, or a cornerback, or a receiver's not going to read a coverage correctly, and it's going to happen like that. Or you're going to have a fumble where you're trying to make the play down the field, and you're trying to, you know, hold the ball for the last second. You're padding, and you get stripped. You know, it's going to happen. It's football. You know, do you do it all the time? No. You know, if you're trying to be aggressive and get the ball down the field and do something positive for your team, then it's okay. It's like I said, if you're just snapping the ball, or like for instance, Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, when he chose not to dive for that ball,
that was highly controversial. Yeah, that was one of the really big takes.
It's not like he did. It's not like Jimmy G like grabbed the ball and just threw it away. You're like, oh my God, I'm scared. No, it's a fumble. You know, he got stripped. Good job for them. Obviously, he needs to be more aware. But like, okay, you're trying to make a play. It's not that big of a deal.
Chilton Automotive text line, not kind to Dibs right now. Dibs just taking a lot of shots for his line of questioning. And his
You're making that
James
up, Joe.
Garoppolo. No, it's right there. I can't. One of the good ones. I can't read it.
Oh, you can't read it?
From the 925. Great question, Dibs. Turnovers happen, potato boy.
Whoa.
He got hit with a potato in Oakland recently.
Walking the streets.
Some crazy threw a potato at him.
That's not
he
good.
He completed
man.
It, though.
No,
that's
not
that's
good.
Really unhealthy.
He completed it.
He completed
it. That's the thing. He completed it.
He graded
that
well.
Dibs would say he completed it, unlike Jimmy Garoppolo would have. Is that the way you wanted me to say that?
We should get Garoppolo to throw a potato at Dibs.
That's not bad. Hit me right in the elbow.
You got to start working on with the bat now.
Seriously.
He picked up the potato and threw it back at the person.
Yeah.
You should have seen if it was organic or not. You probably take that home and cook it.
Yeah, it had been on the street for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I'm all about washing the russet before you cook it, but I don't know if I could have scrubbed that off.
Yeah, some great E. coli would be great.
12th and Franklin Street in Oakland. Yeah. I don't know if you can scrub that off.
Yeah. Cooper in San Jose.
Man.
Cooper, thank you for the phone call. You're on with Ian Williams. Fire away.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say good morning, sirs. And
good morning to you.
This question's for Ian. Hey, Ian, how you doing?
I'm doing good, bro.
All right, that's the question.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, bro, Ian, so my question to you is that, you know, these days we're talking about dynamic quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson's, right? And, you know, history shows that, that these dynamic quarterbacks who are runners and not really pocket passers don't really win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, in the history we have Russell Wilson and Steve Young. And if you really look at it, Steve Young uses his hands, his throwing arm more than his legs, right? And Russell Wilson the same way. So how do you feel about, you know, like a Lamar Jackson dynamic runners winning the Super Bowl? And what do they have to do?
I'm going to take you back now. So it was 2013, February 2013, we were in the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Ravens. And we had the exact same offense of what Lamar Jackson's running right now with Colin Kaepernick. And we were 5 yards away? We were one call away from winning the Super Bowl with that style of offense. And I can only imagine where we would have gone if we would have won that Super Bowl and where, you know, things would be right now. So can that style of offense work in the NFL? Yes, it can. I remember years ago when the Miami Dolphins brought out the Wildcat against the New England Patriots.
Ronnie Brown.
Oh, my God. And stormed the league. And the league didn't know what was going on. And then they kind of morphed into, hey, we need to be able to throw the ball off of this, you know, when we have the little fake. But then you have Tebow coming along, you know, the fake, you know, the jump pass and stuff like that. So, you know, you have all that incorporated into an offense like this where you have a quarterback. Tom Brady, you know, you can take a player off of Tom Brady and have him be AKA the free safety. That's why you call the guy the free safety, because he doesn't have to respect the quarterback in the run game. So, you know, now the game's changed to where you're seeing, you know, guys like Lamar Jackson and, you know, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and you're going to see some of these college quarterbacks come up, and the game has changed to what you're accustomed to.
Drop of the hat, Matt, San Francisco. We're up against a drop of the hat. Shoot your shot.
Hey, what's up? I mean, I got a quick question, right? You know, you came online last week before the Baltimore game, and you talked about the key to the game, how to stop Lamar Jackson. Were you surprised or disappointed that the Niners didn't blitz on first down and try to win on a first down and then make him become a pocket quarterback?
They actually did. They blitzed a lot more. If you actually look at the film, they were bringing Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw more often than not, just trying to, you know, throw, you know, Lamar Jackson in the offense some different looks that, you know, if you're just sitting back in base defense and you give them exactly what they expect you that you're giving them, you know, they're going to, you know, eventually, you know, get bust some big ones on you. So, you know, Coach Sala was trying to switch up the game plan and run some blitzes and stuff like that. So they did that. It was just, you know, obviously sometimes if you run a blitz to the right side and they run the ball to the left side, you know, obviously now you're out of place. And now, you know, that linebacker who just blitzed, he's now in the backside of Lamar Jackson. So, you know, you have a couple plays here. So you got to be careful, but no, they try to bring some pressure early.
You're up Blitzkrieg when you blitz one way and then they end up running the ball the other way. That's what you call that. Up Blitzkrieg without a paddle, Jim. Yeah. It's official football lingo. I don't expect you to understand
that. Text line's telling me that they readjusted the photo for radio.com and now I'm phased out and you're phased in. That's what's happening?
About time. About time, people. You know,
I'm above that. I'm not going to get upset about that.
We got low in the middle, Ian, and you know I've been phased out, but now they shifted it over to where the Dibber, your boy, America's favorite.
Ian's breaking
now.
It down. You guys are worried about who's in a picture.
America's sweetheart over here.
Ian's got a 3-deep breakdown, letting you know what's going on. You guys are like, hey, who's in the picture this week?
After he clowned me for 5 minutes,
I got phased out.
I had to, man.
I'm grasping at straws over here. Ian motorboated me.
Thank you for coming in.
My man. Sure.
8 seconds to go. Always a pleasure. Hopefully we can do it again soon. Bonte Steiny Guru coming up next. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.